Distractions will pop up. People will want to have conversations. They'll want to take you away from your main priority for seemingly decent, good causes. I mean, after all, what's wrong with a conversation over a cup of coffee?
This is Straight Talk.
This is Mark Jobe. I hope that you're having a great day. I'm really excited about the series on Nehemiah. Some of you probably have not heard that much about Nehemiah. If you're new to the faith, you may have taken about a half hour to try to find the book of Nehemiah. But this guy, Nehemiah, is an incredible character, not so different than you and I. In fact, here's a fella who his grandparents or great-grandparents were more than likely slaves, taken to a country where they spoke a language that they did not know, where they were discriminated against, where they started at the very bottom of the ladder and had to begin to work their way up in Babylon. Nehemiah is probably third, fourth generation. By this time, he's worked his way up the ladder of success. He's got this great job. I mean, he's at the top, the pinnacle of success. And suddenly, God interrupts his life. You know, God has a way of doing that sometimes. And Nehemiah's world is turned upside down. He's a businessman. He knows how to move in that world, and he's got a great job and a good home and respect. And God says, you know, this is all over. Nehemiah, I want you to relocate from the metropolitan, cosmopolitan capital of Susa. I want you to relocate 800 miles away to this torn down ghetto city called Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been in ruins for 141 years. I mean, it was chaos. The buildings were torn down. There was no security. The walls were in ruins. There was no way of manning what came in and out of the city. The infrastructure wasn't working. The temple was in disarray. The people were scattered. The morale was low. The sort of mafia of those days was taking advantage of the poor people and charging high interest. Just all the things that happens when a society starts to crumble. And God says to Nehemiah, I want you to go there. I want you to rebuild this city, rebuild this temple. I want you to turn this place around for my glory. Nehemiah takes the challenge. And the book, these 13 chapters of Nehemiah are all about what it means to take steps of faith and a challenge, be led of God to rebuild something, the challenges of leadership, the difficulty that are there. But if I believe that these lessons are huge for every one of our lives, whether you're rebuilding your own life or whether you're rebuilding a marriage, or whether you have a vision to rebuild a church or a community or a business. And Nehemiah is for anybody that says, I want to take something that's dysfunctional, broken, not working, and use God's power and principles to rebuild this into something that functions for God's glory. So I hope you enjoy this series, and God speaks to you through this. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Let's jump right into today's Straight Talk. It's called Keeping Focused in the Midst of Distractions. Our text will be found in the sixth chapter of Nehemiah. Here's Pastor Mark.
Nehemiah has climbed his way up the ladder of success. He's assistant to the most powerful man on the face of this earth at that time. And God totally interrupts his life by hearing a report that comes from his brother that tells him that the city that he is an immigrant from, Jerusalem, has been devastated, lying in ruins for 141 years. It's a ghetto. I mean, the walls are torn down, the economics of it, there's abuse, there's bigotry, the church is weak, the systems are broken down, people are being abused, high interest rates are there. I mean, it is a city that you would want to move out of, not move into. And Nehemiah catches a burden that he can't release, so he relocates 800 miles from the city of Susa to Jerusalem with the goal and objective and vision of rebuilding a city. The first project he has to tackle is rebuilding a mile and a half wall around the city of Jerusalem that will secure the borders. Now, I don't know if anybody else saw this, but I was on AOL News, it caught my attention. They had discovered during some recent excavations this week, they discovered the remains of the wall that Nehemiah had built. They were doing construction on a tower in the city of Jerusalem that was caving in. And as they dug down to repair it, they discovered this wall that had been built in the 6th century BC. And they say, hey, this is the wall that Nehemiah worked on. And some scholars had doubted whether it was there. And I say, hey, big deal. I knew it was there the whole time. The Bible says it. I believe it. So, but anyways, the archaeologists discovered a wall of Nehemiah. So Nehemiah goes there, rallies the people, stirs up the people, gets them working on the wall. He has internal opposition, external opposition. They have money problems. And now they're finally completing the end of the task of rebuilding the wall. And that's when we jump in chapter 6. By the way, by way of application, let me say that Nehemiah is not just a story about a guy that rebuilds a wall in an ancient city. Nehemiah is a story with practical implications for you and I to follow. In fact, as a church, we've been learning a lot about Nehemiah because Nehemiah was committed to the city, to rebuild the city from the inside out. We believe that God has called us to do a Nehemiah work in the city of Chicago. That work has to do with reviving the church within the city, but it also means that the church gets so healthy that it overflows to its communities and begins to touch the lives of people, rebuild infrastructure, change systems, change families, have a new vision of what the city could be. And so that's part of our vision for the city, this great city of Chicago, to be Nehemiah kind of people. So in chapter 6 of Nehemiah, the key word is distraction. Nehemiah basically learns, in this chapter we discover how to stay spiritually focused on the task that God has called us to in spite of distractions. And you say, what is distraction? Distraction is when your attention is being drawn by something other than the thing that you should be focused on. And we live in a world where there's a lot of distractions. How about it? Some of you are half ADHD, and so it's just hard for you to concentrate, period. I mean, even in service, you got to tap your foot, you know, look this, check your watch, you know. Some of you, hey, don't even tell me. I don't want to hear your text messaging during worship service, but I know some of you are really tempted to do that. But some of you just are like hyper, hard to stay attentive to one thing. You're easily distracted. Someone walks in the back, you have to look to see who it is. We'll check out where they're coming. They came in this late. And it's just hard for you to focus and pay attention on things because your mind is easily, very easily distracted. And we live in a day where we're all multitasking, right? It seems like we're all learning to do a whole bunch of things at one time. And I have to admit, I am super guilty of that. I try to do a lot of things at one time. In fact, just a few months ago, I was driving on I-55 Expressway, and, you know, my cell phone here, I'm talking, and of course, my cup of coffee, so drinking coffee, cell phone, trying to take notes once in a while what people are telling me, and trying to drive on the expressway all at the same time. Don't those drivers aggravate you? Man. So my cup of coffee that I had run out of the house with had the wrong lid on it. And so when I put it down, it fell over and it started to spill. So I was in traffic, driving, watching, paying attention, and I reached down just for a second to pick up my cup of coffee, and the person in front of me slammed on their brakes. So, have you ever had one of those moments where everything kind of goes in slow motion? It's like, oh, no. And so I slammed on my brakes, but it was too late. By that time, I saw it coming. I couldn't do anything else. Thank God I had my seatbelt on. And boom, I ran into the car in front of me. All because of small distraction. Now, thank God the lady that in front of me was okay. I was okay. I had to tow my car because the radiator leaked and she had a big dent in her trunk. But all because of a split second of distraction. You see, distractions can be lethal. And in our spiritual life, distractions are all around us. And here's the thing about distractions. Sometimes distractions come in the back door and they seem benign. They don't seem very dangerous because they're not clothed in wicked, evil, dark clothing. In fact, most of the distractions that we really need to worry about are good kind of distractions. I mean, things that you would not say, that's bad. It's just oftentimes the second or third or fourth best can take us away from our primary call. So, let's look at Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1, as we learn how to stay spiritually focused on task with what God has called us in spite of our distractions. It says, when word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab, these are the three leaders of the opposition of Nehemiah. We've heard about them since chapter 2. They constantly keep resurfacing as the guys that are trying to oppose the work that Nehemiah is doing. That I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up till that time I had not set the doors and the gates. I mean, this is a massive task. They've pretty much finished most of the wall. There's no major gaps in the wall. They haven't hung the doors. They haven't closed the gates, so it's not a secure city yet. But it's like this is a major milestone. It says, verse 2, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me this message, and each time I gave them the same answer. First thing I want you to realize is that this distraction, if you're taking notes, write this down. Distractions often come in sheep's clothing, so you need discernment and determination to avoid being sidetracked. Most distractions look pretty harmless when they come our way, but they can really devastate our life if we're not careful. Now, I think Nehemiah's first clue that this was a bad meeting should have been when the meeting is called in the plain of Ono. I mean, right? Anyone that calls a meeting in a place called Ono, you better be careful. This doesn't seem like a good setup for this meeting, right? It's something to be weary of here. And so Sanballat and Tobiah, in their mind, their main goal was, let's stop what Nehemiah is doing. So if we can get him distracted with conversation, if we can get him to leave the job that he's working on, come down here and dialogue, then we can stop the work, we can get him distracted, and he will not be able to complete the task that God has called him to.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Keeping Focused in the Midst of Distractions. It's from our series called Rebuild, Your Life, Your City, Your World. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Nehemiah chapter 6. Our message, Keeping Focused in the Midst of Distractions.
Here's the thing I want you to remember, that sometimes in our life, distractions will pop up, people will want to have conversations, they'll want to take you away from your main priority for seemingly decent, good causes. I mean, after all, what's wrong with a conversation over a cup of coffee? I mean, we've had bad blood. There's been misunderstanding. Why not sit down with Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem and talk over the misunderstandings that we've had? Hold on. Do you realize it's good to talk often, but not every call to talk is a good one? Because sometimes people aren't looking for solutions, they're just looking to vent. How about it? You know, I've been in conversations where people sit down to talk and it leaves worse than when they came there, because the question is, why do you want to talk? Not, do you want to talk? The question is, what is the motive behind your talk? If it's to build bridges, if it's to mend ways, if it's for reconciliation, that's fine. But if it's just to get together to vent and to prove that I'm right and you're wrong, typically no good comes from those conversations. And I've been in a lot of those conversations. So I always ask, why are we getting together? And if I feel like people are getting together to vent, then typically I say, I don't really want to go to that meeting. Here's the thing we need to understand. There are things in life, the Apostle Paul said, that I run the race and I seek not to get entangled in things. Life comes at us fast, doesn't it? I mean, there's a lot of things. If you live in the same world that I live in, which I think you do, sometimes you feel like you're juggling. How about it? You got to juggle bills and you got to juggle schedules. I have three kids. Two of them are teenagers. One's 8 year old and they have activities. So you're juggling those activities. And of course, you want to nurture your marriage. So you got to juggle your date night in there as well. And you got to do yard work and you got to finish this and finish that and keep up with this meeting and that. And pretty soon you're juggling like this and you're feeling like, wow, there's a lot on my plate. And once in a while, we just need to take a time out and say, okay, great, there's a lot on your plate. Here's a big question. But what is your priority? See, what priorities do in our life is they help us say no to things that are not that important. And to be honest with you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and a serious disciple of Jesus Christ, the central priority of your life should involve your following Christ and your spiritual growth. That should be central to your life. And so if you're so busy with life that you have very little time for God and to nurture your spiritual life and the things of God, then let me tell you, then you're too busy. Or your priorities are not straight. Because if your life does not involve some spiritual cultivation, by the way, let me congratulate you that you're in the house of God on Sunday morning on a rainy, nasty day in which the Bears are playing. Hey, congratulations. You are here in the house of God nurturing your spiritual life. So give yourself a hand. Yeah. It means that, you know, someone that hopefully you have some desire to grow, some spiritual hunger in your life, which is a good thing, and you're not allowing other distractions to take you away from that. So remember that oftentimes distractions that come our way, they may not be bad things, but if you're so distracted that you don't have time for your priority, then you are too distracted. In fact, can I offer a suggestion? I think some people look at their spiritual lives and say, well, I'm making very little progress in my life. And I've examined my heart. There's no major sin. I don't feel like I'm involved in any obsessive, compulsive, addictive behavior. And you're scratching your head and wondering why you're not making progress in your spiritual life. Maybe, just maybe, it's because there's too many distractions and you have to learn to focus again. Get your eyes off of the 110 details and come back to your main focus and say, okay, God, let me get this straight. Let me get my main priorities in place in order to be able to go forward. Amen? If you're taking notes this morning, jot the second point down. I'm talking about how to stay focused in the midst of distractions. Number two, rumors and gossip can become a great source of distraction. So learn to clarify the truth and hear me, look at me, move on. Notice what happened here. So after Sanballat and his enemies tried to distract Nehemiah four times, the fifth time they decide to change the strategy. Notice what they do. It says, so the fifth time Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter, in other words, an open letter, in which it was written. Now here's the attack. The first attack didn't work to distract him by having a meeting, so now another approach is taken. This approach is to question his motives. To question his motives and to get Nehemiah distracted by the rumor mill. He says, it's reported among the nations. Reported among the nations. Don't all rumors start that way? I've heard people are saying. A lot of people. I mean, come on, among the nations? Most rumors always exaggerate how many people are talking about it. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talking about this. You heard two. Your mother and your sister. There's a lot of people saying, a lot of people, really. When it comes down to it, usually it's the same 5 to 8 people, and they're always involved in all the gossip. So it's kind of the same people talking again about all the gossip. So, you know, when someone comes to you and say, a lot of people are saying, take it with a grain of salt. Because what I've discovered over the years is that doesn't mean very much. The nations are saying, he says. And Geshem says it's true. Well, who's Geshem? Geshem is the guy that's been against Nehemiah since the beginning. He's not a reliable witness. And Geshem says it's true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and I've even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us confer together. You know what this is? This is a plot to undermine Nehemiah's motives, to question his motives. You see, oftentimes rumors and gossip will go out to attack the motives for why you're doing what you're doing. It questions your heart. And someone may question your heart, and usually it's a blow below the belt that really gets us where it hurts. Because some of you are doing something and whatever it may be. You're helping out you decide to become assistant in the home group, and you're helping out with the home group and really working and praying for people. And someone says, hey, I heard you're just helping out in the home group because you like this girl there. What? That's not true. Well, a lot of people are saying. Or you go out and you try to help someone and you loan money to your brother because he's rehabbing his basement. And then someone, a relative, comes up and says, hey, I heard that, you gave some money because you're charging him interest on that. You're just trying to make a profit. What? No way. I helped them out. No. I'm just saying what I hear. And a lot of people are saying. You see, acts of kindness, acts of goodness, things that you've engaged in. Hey, I hear you're going to church now. You know, rumor is you're going to church because you're in a custody battle right now and you just want the judge to look at you favorable because of that. What are they? No. Well, I don't know. Hey, don't get mad at me. Just a lot of people are talking. And what's our first response when rumor mills question our motives? Our first response is, you want to defend your reputation. Who's saying that? Well, I'm going to tell you that's not true. And if you tell me their names, and then you get caught into the web, and someone says, okay, I'm not going to tell you really. No, I don't want to say. I don't want to say. Okay, here, this person said it. And she heard it from that person. Okay, and so you write them, and then they write back. And have you ever gotten caught in the email battle? They send an email, you send an email, they send an email, they send it back and forth. This person chimes in, then he copies 10 people on it. So now they're copying 10 people, and you have a bunch of people involved. Let me tell you, first of all, if you're going to solve a problem, don't do it via email. The worst medium, I think, of trying to solve a problem is email. You know why? Because people can't see your intonation. They can't see your face. They project on your email the worst possible scenario. This person's really angry, and so they misinterpret what you're trying to say to them. I've seen more people get in trouble over trying to discuss things over email than any other way because they can't really see people's face. And by the way, some people get really bold, nasty, and courageous in letters. But when it comes to talking face-to-face, they're totally different.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago with the first half of his message called Keeping Focused in the Midst of Distractions. It's from our series called Rebuild. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a new Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.